Hi, I'm Leanne, and you're listening to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Enjoy.
Welcome to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. I'm Jenny Detweiler. Do you find it hard to be content? I know I do. It's an area that I find myself often struggling. In today's podcast, you'll hear an interview between me and Christina Morgan, a woman who has a story to tell about how she's seen God's provision in her life, as well as about how she's had to learn to be content. As a side note, before we begin the interview, I need to mention that there were some technical difficulties during this interview, and after it was over, we realized that the microphone settings had been incorrect. We tried to correct this as much as was possible, but just be aware that the audio is not exceptional. The content of the interview is fantastic, though. So here we go. Enjoy! Okay, Christina had told me ahead of time that what she wanted to talk about in today's interview is about how God has provided for her over time. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear it. Go for it.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you really think about it, you can always see how God provides for you because we're here and we're alive. But I want to pause, actually, I didn't warn you about this, but I want to pause and talk about the difference between providing and what a lot of people think about now as the prosperity gospel. You know, I do what God wants and I'll get everything and I'll have front seats and wherever I need and great parking and the newest everything. And that's not what I'm talking about, because it's very different. I don't have prosperity in the worldly sense. I mean, I know people listening might not know me, so I want to throw that out. I mean, I live in an old dilapidated house. We don't have air conditioning or heat except for wood. It's not about having the best of everything, but it's about knowing that when God calls you to do something, he's going to provide the means, whether it seems possible or not. So I do want to throw that out there, that it's different. And so to give the example, the biggest example in my life was, I'm going to backtrack, I went to college to be a Spanish teacher. And so right out of college and I got married and I became a Spanish teacher and it was great. You know, teachers, they complain about their pay because it's not good for what you do, but it is a decent paycheck. I mean, I was getting about $30,000 a year back then, but my husband was not, he was working, he worked full-time and part-time and he still barely pulled in $20,000. And we had rent, utilities, all the bills that everybody has. And it's, I mean, rent was about $500 a month. And so we were doing that and we weren't rich, but we weren't poor and we were happy. And then when I got pregnant, I mean, my husband and I prayed even before we had kids. We prayed, we knew God wanted us to homeschool. And then I got pregnant. And so we're like, okay, we really got to figure this out. And so we sat down and did the math and we knew we could not pay our bills on my husband's salary. It was impossible. But we also knew that I was supposed to stay home and be the homeschooler. I know sometimes the dads stay home and stuff, but that wasn't what God wanted for us.
Right.
So we kept praying about that, and we knew we had a little bit of leeway. Because when the child's born, you don't automatically start schooling then.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah. And we did not do this at the beginning, but you want to tell us how many kids you have and how old they are?
Yeah, I have two girls, a six-year-old and a three-year-old right now. And so we're talking 6.5, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
We're praying about this. And another thing we realized was childcare was expensive. So even if I did keep working so we could save up some more money, how would we have the childcare for her? My family doesn't live around here. And my husband's family has, well, his parents have 9 grandchildren. So there's enough other kids being taken care of. They can't just take mine.
Right.
So we were praying about that too. No, do I stay home right away? Do I need to go to work and find childcare? And God actually provided the answer to that really quickly, because there was a lady at our church who was a stay-at-home wife. And she needed a little extra income. And she was willing to watch my daughter for insanely cheap compared to childcare. And it helped both of us out.
And you felt safe with her?
I felt safe with her. I knew her. I knew that she wouldn't be letting my child watch anything on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Or just leaving her neglected, stuff like that. So that provided us with an extra year. I mean, I had my child in October. So I finished out the school year there, and that gave me another year to just save money, and we've kept praying. So I finished out the year doing that, and we're still praying about how are we going to do this, because it's expensive and rent, and it just doesn't, the numbers did not crunch. But then on a Sunday, there was a deacon at our church who came up to my husband. He's like, so you've been living in that apartment in Hickory, tiny little apartment with our kid. And he's like, would you like a house? Like, well, we'd love a house. Is there one for rent that's affordable?
That's a really great question to be asked.
I know. We'd never rented a house because they were all so much more expensive than a little two-bedroom apartment. He told us how his brother was getting old and needed to move into a nursing home. They didn't want to sell his house, though. So they needed a caretaker for the house. And the only stipulation was that we pay the state taxes, state county taxes on the property, and that we keep it up. No monthly rent, anything like that.
That's a good deal.
It is. And as weird as it sounds, we weren't sure if we wanted to take that, though. Because, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. You get in that situation, you put all your eggs in a basket, and then they yank the basket away.
Right.
So we didn't know the people. So we prayed about it. We got together and talked to them because they weren't sure they wanted to give it to us. They didn't know us. But after about a couple of months of praying and talking, we realized that's where we needed to be. So we did. We moved into the house. And so that cut out $500 a month.
Yeah, which is a big chunk.
It is. It also ended up within a year cutting out the air conditioning bills, and power bills dropped because the house air conditioning died. We were probably taking about a 60-75% cut in income.
Right.
When I stayed home. So we moved over there in the summer after my child was born. And I continued to work that next year. And that's where, and then my child starts. She's going to turn two after that. And we start, okay, well, when do I need to stay home? Do I need to work another year or not? At the near the end of the school year, our babysitter comes up to us. And she's like, I love you. I love your child. My mom is getting to where she needs my attention. And she was. She's, you know, an elderly woman, lived across the street by herself.
Yeah,
and so she said, I wish I could do it, but I can't take care of my mom and your child. And we understood that, so we started praying again. We're like, okay, Lord, do I stay home, or are you going to give us some more child care to save up for another year or two? And that was a pretty quick answer of just go home. Stay home. He said, I provided you a way to not have rent, so stay home. And that's what we did.
Can I just stop you for a second and ask, like, for you, how did you know it was him speaking? Was it something you read in the Word? Was it just a general sense? Was it an audible voice?
It was, for me, it was definitely much more of a sense.
Yeah.
Whenever I prayed about it, I was like, do I do this or do I do this? And I would literally have my hands out, praying them out in my mind. And whenever I had the prayer, you know, do I stay home? I would feel peace.
Yeah.
Do I continue to work? And I wouldn't be peaceful about that. My husband was the same way. He'd be praying and he said, I think you need to stay home. Now, he was a lot more in the Bible, so he might have had more. He might say something different. But for me, I got confirmation through that deep feeling of peace. That's
right.
Where I need to be. So when we hit hard times on food, then we have a lot of friends who are hunters, and they don't like the deer meat. So they hunt for the fun of it, and they give us the meat, and that cuts down on our grocery bills.
Yeah.
All these little different things. I've had a lot of health issues. So is my husband had some cancer cut off of his arm. And when he did that, he ended up also being able to pick up a side tutoring job on his computer shop to help pay for those bills.
Yeah.
The few times I've miscarried, and I've had one time, my most recent time, I miscarried and I had two surgeries. I was in the hospital for a couple of days, blood transfusion, stuff like that. And
oh,
the bills just stacked up. And when you're living off of $20,000 or less, you can't afford it. The insurance didn't cover it all.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Lord provided for me to do an interim position at the school for a month and a half, which covered the bills.
That's amazing.
Stuff like that happens regularly. Anytime we would have medical bills, either me or him, we would pick up some sort of side job just long enough to cover it up. And so that's the story I wanted to throw out there just to encourage people, because I know some people, to use the stay-at-home example, they're like, well, I would stay home, but I can't. And I want to encourage you that no matter what God is telling you to do, whether it's stay at home, whether it's pick up another job, whether it's switch jobs.
Yeah.
If you see something and you think that's not possible, but God is telling you to do it, then it's possible. And I know it's crazy sounding, but it does happen. And I know we think about stories in the Bible. In 1 Kings, you have the story of that widow woman who was gathering the sticks because there was the drought that hadn't rained for however many years, I don't remember. And she was gathering the sticks to build a fire and make one little cake for her and her son so they could die. And Elijah comes up to her and says, make me some bread. And you can imagine what she's thinking. She's like, if I make it for you, then my son and I, we're not going to have anything.
Uh-huh.
But he said, make it for me and God will provide. And she did it. And it was another couple of years that they ate from that one little helping that she had left.
Uh-huh.
Because it's what God wanted her to do. And she obeyed.
Yeah.
And so it seems impossible. For me, it was staying at home. The numbers didn't crunch. And they still don't crunch. I still have no idea how we pay our bills.
Yeah.
But we do. And it's the thing I want to encourage people, no matter what it is that God's telling you to do, if he's telling you to do it, he'll provide.
Yeah.
So.
Man, I'm really glad that you shared that. Okay, I have some questions for you about all of that. I'm wondering, I know that is the story that you told today, but there's been a lot of other things in your life that the Lord's provided for too. So in any area, what is the most unexpected way that God has provided for you?
Probably the second chance at the house.
Okay.
Which is another crazy story with the house. But, we were there rent-free because the guy was in a nursing home. Well, he was older. He passed away. So the house goes up for sale, which is a scary thing because that means within 30 days we have to just get up and move because somebody's going to buy it.
Right.
And that almost happened one time. Somebody was going to buy it. And they were literally they were coming to the house every week trying to see if we were.
Were you having to clean it and everything? And
we just had to try to pack up our stuff and find a place to move to rent, which, again, would be terrifying considering we barely add up with our bills now. But that fell through with that guy. He couldn't end up buying the house. And then months later, somebody else buys the house. And the first time we meet him, he comes and he says, well, you know what? You can stay under the same conditions.
Wow.
He bought the property. There's 17 acres attached to the house. And he wanted to have a weekend home where he could kind of go and see the mountains. He lives out in Gastonia. And he met us and he's like, you can stay. I don't really want the house. I'm going to build the house over there.
Oh, wow. So he uses the property, but he's going to have a different house.
Yeah. He's been clearing out the property so he can build another house somewhere else. And so we're allowed to stay there on the same condition. We help him pay the taxes. We upkeep the house that we're in, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Because when we knew the house was going up for sale, we weren't praying for that.
That's amazing.
So it's like a double provision.
So one thing that has been true in my life, and I think probably a lot of other people, is that waiting time, like when you're praying about a need and you believe, or at least you want to believe in your good moments that God is going to come through, but there's no evidence yet for that. Because that's what, is it in Hebrews where it talks about faith is that evidence of things you don't see.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen.
That's right. So what was it like for you while you were waiting?
A lot of prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of Bible reading about provision. My main problem isn't doubting that God will provide, because he's done it so many times through college, through high school, through married life. He's provided so many different things for me. But my problem is doubting whether I'm on the right path, because I've also learned that while he provides in his will, he doesn't provide us freely when we're out of his will, but he still takes care of us. He doesn't let us, go all the way down where we can't come back up.
Right.
But he won't let it happen. Like, I've prayed for so many things. Here's a little confession here. I have always had all these big dreams about doing all these different things. I have yet to do one of them. And when I was growing up, I never wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I never wanted to get married. I didn't want to teach. I didn't want to do anything I'm doing right now.
What did you want to do?
I wanted to travel the world, maybe sing or do some sort of, I don't know. I just wanted to travel.
Yeah.
And when I got saved, I decided I wanted to be a missionary. I have none of that. And so that's the thing. Whenever I'm waiting for God to provide something, that's where my doubt is. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, is this really what you want? Or is this something that I'm just trying to get? that's the hardest part about waiting for me, is waiting to see, am I actually in his will? Or am I butting my head up against the wall yet again? Because I've done that many times. I still do it some.
Okay, so what I think I hear you saying is not that you doubt that God will do what he says he's going to do, but you doubt, are you on the right path?
That's it.
Okay.
Because I have no doubt that if I'm going where he wants me to, he's going to provide the means.
Right. I love it when he brings confirmation and encouragement while you're waiting. Because sometimes the waiting is short, but sometimes it's really long.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How have you seen your faith and your trust grow as you've watched how he's worked?
In general, I worry less, which I know that's a big deal for people.
Oh, that is a big deal.
Like, that's one thing that I don't struggle with as much. Now, I have my other struggles, but I don't struggle with worry. I don't worry, how am I going to meet this bill? How am I going to get the fridge filled for my kids? My kids are 3 and 6. Eventually, they're going to be 13 and 16 and eating 5 times as much as they are right now.
As a mother of 4 boys, I can attest. Yes.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, with the grocery bills going up, part of me is tempted to worry about them. I'm like, well, no. Because really, we shouldn't be able to buy the groceries we buy now, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot easier to make that transition when things change. You know, Hannah doesn't, my oldest child doesn't get free meals anymore as, you know, under 4.
Right.
She doesn't eat off the buffets free anymore. So that makes everything more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But God has always provided the means somehow.
I'm wondering, do you have like a mentor in your life or someone who's inspired you in some way?
Yeah, I hate to say not really. Like, I have, my main supporter is my husband.
Okay.
Because he's just so solid. He really is solid. And he's helped me a lot in that. Which is funny because he's younger than me and most people think older and wisdom. But he grew up in a very strong Christian house. And he's really, I was wandering a bit when we met in high school. And we just started getting together and he really grounded my faith. And that has helped a lot. And he keeps me accountable. He doesn't say anything to me. But, you know, it's around bedtime and he'll get there. He'll sit down and he'll just open his Bible. And I'm like, oh, I haven't done that yet today.
So peer pressure a little bit.
A little bit. But it's so
in a good way.
It's good. And it's not something he's doing on purpose. He doesn't make me feel bad about it. He'll just do the right thing.
Do you have a scripture that pertains to this or just one that you really like?
The one that has gotten me through a lot of it is 1 Timothy 6:6. And it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's a great comfort to me because, again, when you're living off of so little and you think, well, I don't have this. Like, we don't have TV. Like, we have a TV, but we don't pay for subscriptions. We don't have air conditioning. We don't have internet on anything but our phones. And you think, I don't have anything. My kids are missing out on things. But then I think, well, no, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Right.
If I can focus my life on God, if I can get my kids focused on God, then I have gained so much more than the new phone or the new clothes or the internet or anything.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that I remind myself of is when I'm starting to feel jealous of people, that godliness and contentment is great gain. And so my focus needs to not be on the gain, but on the godliness.
Right. And the contentment. I love that about you.
Thank you.
For sure. So I was going to ask you if there was a person that God has used to help provide for you. And it sounds like the man who bought the property was kind of that. But has there been anybody else?
I would say God's people in general, his church. Because you have him, that man who bought the house, good Christian man. We've met him a couple of times. Fully, you can just feel God in him. You have people at my church, the ones who provide the meat for us. There was one time when our garden totally flopped, and we depend on the garden for the vegetables and stuff. And there was a lady at our church just brought a whole big bag of veggies from her garden saying, I don't need these here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Over and over, just other Christians coming. Here, you need this. Have this. You need this. We've got, with my children, are some of the youngest ones I know. And so there are some good Christian women in our church who have 9-year-old, 10-year-old daughters. They hand me down clothes. So it's like, I don't have to worry about, because his church, his people have provided. And I try to remember that because when my children grow out of things, I want to pass them down to other people. I want to be the one that when God blesses our garden, I can give veggies to someone else, or I can give eggs from our chickens. If God provided, he's used his people to help me.
Yeah.
So I
really
want to be
that.
Part of that.
I love that.
So we help each other out. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And I've actually gone talked to some of the older people in our church, because people used to do things themselves back then. And so when we hit to where we couldn't afford things, I started asking some of the older ladies. I was like, okay, so how did you do this? And I got a recipe for laundry detergent. I've gotten recipes for cleaning supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So I make my own stuff now.
So you did mention your husband, and I didn't really let you do an intro at the beginning. Would you like to talk a little about him and your family?
Okay. I met my husband in high school. I was a sophomore. He was a freshman. And that was actually an odd little situation, because usually they make you take PE as a freshman. I didn't. So I met him in a freshman class. I was the only non-freshman in that class.
That's funny.
But we started dating 2 years later, and we're the only person that the other one has ever dated. Neither of us ever dated anyone else.
Aww.
And when I graduated high school, I went off to college, and he waited around for me. It was great. I think that's awesome, because you don't hear many people say, they married my high school sweetheart.
That's right. You never dated anyone else.
Never dated anyone else.
That is really sweet.
And I know I mentioned earlier, when I was growing up, I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to have kids. He chased me down for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Like, he'd meet me in the hallway and talk to me. And he told me, I think it was about 4 months after we met, that he's like, I love you. And he would tell me that every day. And I'm like, okay, you're my friend. Have a good day. And it weirded me out. But for 2 years, he was just very consistent about it. And I don't know whether he wore me down or if God finally got through my thick skull. That where I was headed wasn't where God wanted me to be. He wanted me to marry that man. And so that's that. And then we started having our girls, which that's been a journey too. I know lots of people out there have stories with that. But, you know, I've had three miscarriages along with
really
a set
hard.
Of twins.
Oh.
So we've had our ups and downs with that too. But he's been my rock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's comforting. And it also reminds me that when people compliment my girls, like, oh, looking at your two beautiful girls. I'm like, yes, they're my blessing.
That's right.
Because I realize that now. It's a miracle. They're my miracles and they're my blessings.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay. Well, Christina, I'm so thankful that you were here today.
Michael, my hope is that it does encourage people.
Well, I know that I, for one, was really encouraged by my conversation with Christina today. I think the Lord has given her really great insight into the art of cultivating contentment. Just a little note afterwards from Christina. She wanted to share to encourage people that just because God provided for her to stay at home without a job does not mean that that's the way he's going to provide for everybody. Her intention was not to make anyone feel guilty because they're not doing exactly what she's doing. And she didn't want anyone to think that she's judging them for being in a different situation. She just wants people to know that they can have the confidence that God will provide the means to go wherever he has called them. It won't look like the same journey as anyone else's, and that is okay. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and spread the word to others who you think would enjoy it as well. If you had any thoughts or comments about what you heard today, join me on my Facebook page, PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, to join in the conversation. Or feel free to comment on the website, pauserenewnext.com. You can find PRN on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And you can find the podcast on the website pauserenewnext.com, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts can be found. New podcasts are released each Tuesday. And keep an eye out for new blog posts on the website as well. This is Jenny Detweiler with PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.